We just passed the August 9th anniversary of the day President Richard Nixon resigned and walked out of the White House as the world watched what the majority of that time called a walk of shame brought about by the Watergate break-in and the many events that followed. My next guest, who was there in the White House as everything was shaking out, says that there were abuses of power committed, and it was done by those working to run President Nixon out of office. He reveals these abuses and who perpetrated them in his new book, The Real Watergate Scandal, Collusion, Conspiracy, and the Plot That Brought Nixon Down. He was the youngest member of the Nixon defense team, Jeff Shepard. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Chris. Good to be with you.
And thank you for not changing or altering history, but correcting history versus the, the folklore belief that Watergate has become for a variety of reasons, some of which we'll get into, and you certainly detail with The Real Watergate Scandal, your book. Jeff's website is jeffshepard.com. That's G-E-O-F-F-Shepard.com. Of course, we have a link over at our website. But just some background first. I mentioned, Jeff, that you were the youngest member of the defense team for President Nixon. What was your job description specifically?
Well, your listeners should know that I started out as a native Californian raised in the West, and I think of myself as perfectly normal. And then I got a scholarship to Harvard Law School, and I came east. I did well. I graduated with honors, and I was selected to be a White House fellow. And so I went to Washington at the tender age of 24 and was the youngest lawyer on President Nixon's staff. After my fellowship year, I joined the Domestic Council. It was John Ehrlichman's staff. It's the counterpart of the National Security Council, and it staffs the president on domestic issues. It still exists today. So my main beat, my main focus, was the Department of Justice. And that means I knew every single person involved in Watergate, all the major figures, and I knew them and I worked with them. They weren't names on a roster. I know these people personally. And what happened? I was there for 5 years. But what happened when Watergate's tide came in and there was lots of turnover and a new team? I went down to the lead defense lawyer, Fred Bizzard, and asked for a place on the defense team. So I became, over time, his principal deputy. And I transcribed the tapes. I ran the document rooms that held the seized files. I briefed and staffed the president's counselors, Bryce Harlow and Dean Birch, who were attempting to defend the president. If you know anything about Watergate, you know we lost badly. It was a total wipeout. President resigns in disgrace, and his top aides are convicted on all counts and imprisoned. And I was bitter. I lost my first case. I thought we lost a great president. So about 12 years ago, after I raised my family, had my career, I decided to look into it again because I still couldn't understand how everything went wrong. And I discovered that the documents of the special prosecutor were on file at the National Archives. And it takes an effort to find them. You got to know what to ask for, and you got to be patient. But this is like discovering, Chris, 30 years later, when you'd lost the championship football game, that you have access to the other coach's playbook, and you can reconstruct his game plan versus yours. And I could see what they were doing. But something else came out, and that's that they were cheating. We kept losing ground in our meetings with the judge. They were always prepared. We were always surprised. It turns out they were meeting with the judge secretly beforehand. And, you don't have to be a Harvard law professor to know that judges aren't supposed to get together in secret with one side without the other side being present. But that was going on all the time. And it's in the notes. That's what makes the book so special, is I have their notes that confirm these meetings.
And, of course, we're talking about Judge John Sirica, who was meeting with, not necessarily Archibald Cox. If Cox had stayed, would things have been different, or was Cox going to get drawn into the fix, much like his successor, Leon Jaworski, wound up being?
Well, we just don't know. We do know of at least three meetings with Judge Sirica. We do know Cox and his team, he brought two Harvard professors with him, hired an incredibly partisan prosecution office. They only hired their friends, and the top 17 lawyers in the special prosecutor's office all came from the previous administration's Department of Justice. These are good lawyers. but they're politically adamantly opposed to the Nixon administration. And you've got this strange juxtaposition, Chris, where the people who were removed from office, the Democrats' brain trust from their Department of Justice, suddenly is wielding prosecutorial power against you, and you can't investigate them. So you've got 100, the special prosecutor staff grew to 100 strong. There were about 60 lawyers counting turnover. And that doesn't count Department of FBI and IRS agents that they could direct against us. And we had no ability to counter that with our own investigations of their party's wrongdoing. So we were losing badly. But even under those circumstances, that wasn't good enough. They cheated. Now, we have the record of the cheating under Jaworski. I happen to think Archibald Cox had limits, wouldn't have done certain things. There's a wonderful quote about his attitude towards John Dean, the president's principal accuser. The original career prosecutors wouldn't give him immunity. Cox told his staff that with all the problems, all the doubts, the lack of proof, everything else, the one thing he was certain of was John Dean's venality. So we don't know how it would have unwound if Cox hadn't been fired in the Saturday Night Massacre. But we do know that after he was removed, the entire staff, they called themselves Archie's Army, were out scorched earth, get everybody they could in the Nixon administration. And those are the records I uncovered. That's what's documented in the book. That's what's the real Watergate scandal.
Talking with Jeff Shepard, his book, The Real Watergate Scandal, Collusion, Conspiracy, and the Plot That Brought Nixon Down. JeffShepard.com, G-E-O-F-F, Shepard.com, and, of course, the link's over at our website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. One thing I want to take off the table for the listener's edification, Jeff, you're not denying or eliminating the element that there was a cover-up.
Oh, no, it's very, very clear. There was a break-in. They got caught red-handed. They got tried. They got convicted. There was a cover-up. And the question, and this is the key question that's throughout, John Dean has admitted he was the chief desk officer for the cover-up. But he changed his story in the hands of the prosecutors and started saying, after a whole bunch of early meetings, he started saying, well, I was really made to do it by my superiors. I was really operating under their direction and control.
I was just following orders.
There's relatively little proof. So the real issue is that true, or did he make that up in order to seek immunity for his own illegal deeds?
Well, given by Dean's own admissions, that and a lot of people overlook the fact that even though convicted, he never served a day in a legitimate prison cell. He was in a halfway house or a safe house.
Isn't that astonishing? The judge, and he writes about this in his book. He threw the book at him. He sentences John Dean to 1 to 4 years in prison to increase his witness credibility. So when it comes to the cover-up trial, he'll be appearing to be testifying from prison. But as it develops, and this is Dean's own admissions, he never spent a single night in a jail cell. He spent the nights in the safe house. And during the day, he was driven to his own office on K Street, run by the special prosecutor, where he wrote his book. And he's only the week after the trial. He's been sentenced to 1 to 4 years. The week after the convictions, Sirica, on his own motion, reduced his sentence to time served and set him free. So John Dean technically only served 4 months of confinement. Confinement was in a safe house. And he spent his days writing this book. And Dean concludes an interview in 2012, pretty rough time. You know, it's a fraud. It was a fraud on the jury. It's a fraud on the American people. And what the book does, it's an old topic, but it's brand new disclosures, brand new information about what happened that changes everything. You read that book, and it will challenge every single thing you've ever been told about Watergate.
And you heard how Dean gets a pass, but the lives, the careers of Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, Colson, many others get tossed into the garbage.
Ruined. They're ruined, yeah. And it's the criminalization of politics. I mean, the Chuck pled guilty rather than go through the terrors of one of these trials. But when you and it's this is documented to a fairly well in the book, Chris. They had no basis to indict him. I mean, he was Nixon's tough guy. He talked tough, but he wasn't that involved in the cover up. And you've got the notes indicating that Jaworski understands it's a close case, but he really wants to nail Chuck Colson. Besides, Colson's so scared, we won't have to prove the case. Colson's going to plead. So it doesn't matter. We don't have much proof. I mean, this is astonishing stuff, all from their notes that's reproduced in my book.
That's the amazing part, too. Normally, you want to start at the front of the book and work your way backwards, but the last third of Jeff's book, The Real Watergate Scandal, Collusion, Conspiracy, and the Plot That Brought Nixon Down, is just fascinating history. And these aren't redacted documents. These are the notes that prosecutors took with them at the time. And obviously now, 40 years later, we know why. And jeffshepherd.com, that's Jeff's website. You can learn more about the book as well as proper, factual, historical truth about Richard Nixon and his many accomplishments, many of which are overshadowed by what we now know through Jeff's work is the scam that was the Watergate investigation. And Jeff, when you look at Judge John Sirica, his track record in hindsight doesn't make what he did a surprise, because as you write in The Real Watergate Scandal, back in the World War II era, he basically created a conviction of 28 black military members for an alleged fight that they got in a joint somewhere in Italy.
Well, that's Leon Jaworski. That's not
Leon Jaworski, I'm sorry.
Leon Jaworski, there's a book called On American Soil that shows how Leon Jaworski, Colonel Jaworski, in a hurry to get to the Nuremberg trials, where he was a lead prosecutor, cheats in a court-martial and doesn't turn over exculpatory evidence to the defense. And, of course, that's what the special prosecutor's office did in Watergate, and it's all documented in the book. There was exculpatory evidence known to the prosecutors that they didn't turn over, as they're required to. The prosecution is supposed to operate in a straight manner. You know, they're not supposed to hide witnesses and cheat and not tell you if there's exculpatory evidence, but that's what they did because they were so eager to secure a conviction against Nixon's top aide. I mean, those verdicts are so tainted. They're hopelessly tainted that they can't withstand a challenge. They've got to be vacated. If the guys were still alive, you could retry them. But this information is coming out 40 years late because the prosecutors took their own notes. So it's their fault this is coming out late. The only answer is the verdicts have to be vacated.
About a minute left here. Last question. Through your observations and where you were at that time, did Nixon realize what he was up against, or was he just, as it unfolded, just learning and realizing as it went along? Or did he know that, okay, I've made a ton of enemies and it's payback time?
Well, he knew he'd made a ton of enemies, and he knew they were out to get him. I mean, even paranoids have enemies, and Nixon knew the Eastern liberal elites loathed him and would do anything they could to bring him down. What's disappointing is these men, Nixon and Bob Haldeman and John Ehrlichman and John Mitchell, went to their graves without knowing how the prosecution cheated and what lies were being told about them to grand jurors and to the House Judiciary Committee staff. And again, it's well documented in the book, but I maintain that if what is in the book had been known at the time, Nixon wouldn't have had to resign, and his top aides would never have been convicted. The key is what was being said in secret about Richard Nixon to the grand jurors and the House Judiciary Committee, and your listeners, when they read the book, will enjoy watching that unfold.
It is an amazing correction of history and the mistakes and revelations of the mistakes and really the crimes by those who were in law enforcement committed. And with the documents that Jeff presents in The Real Watergate Scandal, even before you start to read everything and the details and certainly names that you'll recognize and the names that you should know from the top all the way through the troops, It does bring a lot of questions and does maybe even explain how some things in the political world are unfortunately a tradition, and you can apply what was done to President Nixon and his administration to a lot of things we've seen today. What former Alaskan Senator Ted Stevens comes to mind, former Texas Governor Rick Perry, and many others. And
Chris Christie is the subject of a political investigation. Scott Walker, a political investigation. It's the criminalization of politics. Started with Richard Nixon, but the Democrats have gotten very, very good at it. They've learned you can ruin people with a criminal investigation. Somehow it leaks. And if it comes to nothing at the end, they're still ruined. And that's what's so scary about this. And Republicans, too, as well as Democrats, should be very worried about this, my story, because if the Bill of Rights and our Constitution couldn't protect us in a time of intense political contests, then next time it might be done against Democrats instead of against Republicans.
And that's the sad part. When people can't win on issues, that they resort to tactics like what Jeff writes about in the real Watergate scandal, collusion, conspiracy, and the plot that brought Nixon down. JeffShepherd.com, G-E-O-F-F, Shepherd.com. Of course, the link's over to our website. And Jeff, as a history fanatic and a longtime student of Richard Nixon and the reality of his life and his work and his career and his achievements, you've done the man proud, and you've done more than just started the correction. I think you've advanced the correction greatly with the real Watergate scandal. So congratulations for doing that, for being here.
I think after people read the book, they will conclude America owes Richard Nixon an apology.